You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 24 November. We've got NASPAS and process results due within the hour. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Nkunza Sanlam Private Wealth, the Celsius IPO, SPA trading update. News markets looking spooked, or is this just the bull and bear fighting it out in a bull market? Martin Ackerman, Citadel Global Economy, actually looking more resilient than perhaps expected. And then Robert Liebrandt, he's a South African who worked in the UK and is eligible for a pension. He's got the details. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. BHP walks away from Anglo again after new approach. Anglo rejected the new approach, saying that they prefer the combination with Canadian Tech. Business Day, Mr. Price eyes new markets as it doubles down on expansion at home, focusing on territories that meet criteria for growth and stability. They got $3 billion on that balance sheet. Morning markets, US was green, S&P 1% higher, NASDAQ 0.75%. East is green. We've got Sydney up 0.2%. We've got Tokyo closed, Labor Thanksgiving Day. Hong Kong's up 1.3% and Tencent 2.1% higher. Commodities mostly green, gold futures 4,081. Brent is the red, a couple of cents down, 62.47. Platinum, 1,540. Palladium, 1,425. Rand, 17.37. Bitcoin, 87,500. And top 40 opening call, green open, 950 points, or a little over 0.9% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Tony now with Nkunza Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, appreciate the early morning. Celsius, the IPO closed Thursday. Listing is this Thursday, 27th. Disappointing price. The range was $29.50 to $35.50, but seemingly they could get no interest at that or not sufficient. Came in at $26.50. That's a bit of an ouch.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Yeah, I mean, there's no, you know, my experience with IPOs and listings, you know, there's no other way to sugarcoat this. This just means that demand was just not there at the upper range. And you know, bookmakers and syndication desks, they want to sort of get that first day pop. So yeah, in order to do that, they've had to ratchet it down almost R9 per share. So, yeah, I mean, it is coming in at the low end of the range. I would say almost at the bottom. Mm-hmm. But what this quite means for a successful listing, I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see on Thursday how it plays out. Let's touch on SPA. Trading update came out Friday. This is for the year ending, I think it's 26 September or something. They do the weird years because, of course, they do weeks. HEPS expected to be negative. A lot of moving parts. But, I mean, there really is only one food actually, I'm going to say two, because Woolies Food does great. ShopRite does great. The other's just finding it tough out there.
Yeah, they are. I mean, as you said, there's lots of noise in the numbers and lots of one-off and impairments. I mean, they disposed of a couple of their offshore entities. I mean, an investment in the UK. I mean, typical story, SA retailers going abroad, half, and we've heard the story, and then writing down those investments to pretty much nothing. I mean, SPA being the latest one. I just think, you know, margins are thin. I mean, they did try to talk it up a little bit, talking about the local sort of the liquor business doing a little bit better. But overall, I mean, you can't get away from the fact that they are struggling against, I guess, the likes of, as you mentioned, the likes of, you know, ShopRite as well. You know, they've got margins of close to 4%, 5%. So, yeah, another struggling business. And I guess the only positive is valuation on its side. It is the cheaper the retailers, but... Yeah, we've always said this before, Simon, probably cheap for a reason.
Walmart opened this weekend, lots of excitement. I mean, maybe in time, but I mean, with respect to Walmart, one store, they've got a long way to go. Are they a significant threat at this point or more a curiosity you know, we'll see how it rolls?
I don't know. I mean, because we had Massmart, if you remember, coming in, showing my age here, about a decade or so ago. I mean, they didn't really... do what they promised, I guess. I mean, they were talking about shaking up the local industry. It never really happened. They also had a big checkbook behind them. I suspect Walmart's a little bit different. I mean, I guess the sort of a The information we're picking up is they are going to be aggressive. They are going to come in quite strongly and cut costs. But yeah, one store doesn't really make a difference. But I do think they might be a little bit more aggressive than we've seen in the past. So yes, if I was ShopRite, I'd be a little bit concerned. But we'll wait to see. It's a long-term play that these guys are coming in. But it is interesting in the retail space.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And a bit of shake-up. The front for the outsiders may be tough for the incumbents. Quick thing, U.S. markets. My notes here say jittery, and then I crossed out jittery because jittery might be underplaying it. Is this, I mean, your sense? Bull markets always have fights with the bears as we head up, or is there more to it? It's tough to see how this plays out. I mean, the future is unknown.
Yeah, goodness, I was also going back in my old trading books and seeing what this means is volatility. The one thing it does mean is markets are not really that healthy. I mean, you look at the moves on Thursday, that was the big one. I mean, you can't have 4% swing in an S&P, the biggest 500 stocks in America, and Nvidia also, what was it, 8% swing on the day. I mean, that is absolutely mind-blowing, the moves, if you think about how many sort of hundreds of billions of dollars made and lost on that day. So not healthy. Is it a little blip in a bigger bull market? I don't know. Valuations are still looking a little stretched in all aspects. So I think that is a bit of a concern. And also, I guess, you know the old saying, Simon, I mean, bull markets don't die of old age. But this is certainly looking a little bit stretched. Yeah, I mean, how much longer can we go? I guess we'll figure it out. But yeah, not a sign of a healthy market. And the VIX also, keep an eye on that one. That popped from 20 to 28% in the space of 2 hours.
Yeah.
Again, these aren't healthy moves. So just, I guess I'd have my cautious hat on at the moment.
Yeah. And as always, I don't think we've ever said stay far from the door. It's always be close to the door. We'll leave it there. Nick Kunze, Sanlam Private Wealth. Appreciate the early morning time. Our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter, is about the Solsea IPO. Did you apply? Are you looking forward to the IPO? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation-beating returns. Let your money keep working with Standard Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Martin Ackerman, Chief Economist at Citadel. Martin, always appreciate the early morning time. Let's take some offshore thoughts first. Global growth, I mean, we're notwithstanding a volatile year in markets, concerns around tariffs, we're actually still getting growth through. And you make a point as well as even the US, maybe a bit softer, but we're not looking at a recession necessarily at all.
Yes, morning, Simon. Thanks for the opportunity. I think if we had this conversation in January, the outlook was very different. And I think everyone will say that, the outcome this year is totally unexpected. So we're sitting with major economic challenges, yet markets are flying, and so who's right? Someone, is the market right or is the fundamentals right? But having said that, I think, especially in April when Trump stood up with the first round of tariffs, the general expectation was that the world could probably go into a recession. Yeah. And now looking back, for very different reasons, but the U.S. slowing, but, probably going to get closer to 2% capacity growth, coming off a very high 3-odd% before the tariffs. Mm-hmm. So that's not a calamity. And then, the rest of the world, especially the developed markets, Europe, UK, really picking up a lot of fiscal spend and also defense spending, but nevertheless, they're coming from a very growth slump. So it seems like the world will probably muddle through. The world is probably more resilient to these tariffs than most expected. And maybe we're also learning some lessons that the world started to, diversify supply long before Trump actually arrived on the scene.
Actually, that's a great point because, of course, the pandemic and the whole, I mean, everyone had sort of, they'd done the just-in-time supply chains and changed those post-pandemic. You mentioned Europe, UK, slow but positive recovery. I mean, heading in the right direction after what's been, a stagnant many, many years.
Yeah, so I was still slightly concerned. They are coming from almost no growth, and it seems like they're converging with a kind of capacity growth in line with the US. But the big challenge there is still a lack of productivity, high energy cost, aging population, A lot of immigrant issues that they need to resolve, and they be what I call between a rock and a hard place. They're between Trump tariffs on their goods, and they get dumped by cheap Chinese goods, and that's why the auto industry is, I think it's a sunset industry for Europe. So the rebound that you're seeing right now, most of it, unfortunately, is on the back of the fiscal spend to get that defense target to 5% of GDP. And the concern there is, that's what we call not productive spend. So you build a couple of tanks and bullets, touch wood, you're not going to war, so that's a once off. Very different, that kind of investment tailwind compared to when it's long-term productive assets, like building new roads and infrastructure and those kind of things. So I think, yes, they're looking better now, but yeah, we're very concerned about the sustainability of that.
And that then brings China into it, because they're doing a shift. They've sort of been an investment-led growth for the last couple of decades, and they are sort of moving to consumption, trying to get the Chinese population to spend and grow that economy, get it growing via consumption. Is that working for them at this point? I mean, it's early days, but are we seeing it working?
Yeah, it's they want to make their growth also more sustainable, because at the moment they're very much reliant on the rest of the world with exports and then also infrastructure. But the thing about the infrastructure is they already got overcapacity in the property market, and that's reflected in property valuations going down. So they've got serious issues to get the consumer to play a bigger role. The consumers are, very exposed to property. So when your property sector is under pressure, then that's reflecting consumer confidence. And then when you don't feel good, you don't spend that much. So yeah, they still struggle to tilt that balance. And this year again, exports, despite the tariffs, are one of the biggest drivers for economic growth. An interesting thing there is the exports are up double digits this year. And that includes a minus, I think it was 27% to the US. So it already shows you that, back to my point, the world is already more resilient and less reliant on the US. So we just trade with other countries. If you look at, on that quickly, if you look at emerging market trade in the 80s, that was about 25% with each other. That's now more than 50%. So it just shows you how quickly, we're finding different trading partners, and that makes the world more resilient.
Last question, if we bring it home, South Africa, kind of notwithstanding global headwinds, obviously gold has massively helped our equity market, but we're seeing green shoots in places. Eskom's working, Transnet's coming back, and governance is there, the GNU is holding, tax revenues, cautious optimism, an overused phrase, but really fits well here.
Yeah, all of the above. I think you're spot on there. It's same thing. If we had this conversation in January, or let's say February, we couldn't table a budget. Our bond yields was 11%. It was really gloomy, and then magically, this President Trump that we were all worried about made two decisions. He passed a tax bill which put a question mark on the dollar, so the dollar started to slip, and then the reverse of that is the gold that started to run. And here we sit on the South of Africa, and we benefit hugely from that. And the other thing in that same tax bill, you scrapped the subsidies on electric vehicles, which kickstart the run in platinum to an extent. And yeah, here we sit with a major tailwind from the commodities. But not only that, I think, you're 100% right. There are definitely green shoots. We are seeing some of the policy reforms starting to show some results. Quite a healthy turnaround in terms of cargo on Transnet, as an example, from a low base. Electricity seems to be, the lights are staying on. And yeah, I think the government of national unity looks like they're finding their feet. And that is so important. If there's any crack there, that just puts a question mark again around everything that we're trying to achieve.
Yeah, and so far it's holding. And I keep on forgetting we had to do the budget three times before it worked. That's the kind of year it was that almost pales into the background. You leave it there, Martin Ackerman, Chief Economist, Citadel. Always appreciate the early morning. Give you money, smoother returns for Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Robert Liebrandt. He's a South African entrepreneur. Robert, appreciate the time. Interesting email hit my inbox a little while ago around South Africans who had worked in the UK for a while and were then eligible to get some pension from the UK. You're one such person. Let's first kick off as to when we say work in the UK, and we'll use you as the living example here. You know, how long ago was it? What sort of work? How long do those matter?
I had an English mother and we left South Africa in 74. After I left school, just before 1983, I worked for 7 years in the UK, mm-hmm. got married, three kids, decided to come back to South Africa. We landed in 1990, three kids, six suitcases, no education, and everyone was leaving. It was sort of the first brain drain at the time, and we were very excited to be in this new country. So we had not a brilliant start. We came up with some ideas. And obviously, with desperation, you always get inspiration. And we managed to forge a nice working job with working with schools throughout South Africa. Mm-hmm. And that's how we made our money, basically.
So you worked in the UK for a couple of years, and this was, you got back here 35 years ago, and yet you're able to qualify for a UK pension for those years that you worked in the UK.
I basically worked for 7 years in the UK. The firm I worked for actually opted out of the national system to a private pension. So I didn't really think I was eligible. And I sent off a couple of emails, you know, when you're about 26, 27, and they say, carry on your contributions and whatever. I thought, I'll do it one day and whatever. And then you blink your eyes, and here we are. I'm 62 years old and thinking about pension and thinking, why didn't I do it? Why didn't I do it? So I sent off a couple of emails, never got any response, thought 7 years wouldn't really qualify me anyway. Mm-hmm. And I was on Facebook once and I saw this advert and I applied, and Patrick from Extra Pensions actually rang me back up and ran it all through me. It sounded all too good to be true.
Yeah.
And I thought first, and my wife was listening on the phone call, she's got excellent hearing. And I said, it sounds good. I said, where are you based? And he said, in Cape Town. I said, do you mind if we actually come and see you? So I took my wife along as backup. And Patrick explained it. And straight away, we signed up. She had no doubts in her mind. We paid a fee up front, which to some of it was going to be returned if we weren't successful. And he said there was quite a backup on the British side. And don't expect to hear anything for about 11 months.
Wow.
And within about 3 months, we got a phone call confirming from the British government saying, just confirming who I was and that they had received the letter. It was a registered letter. It got there on the 1st of April. And then I think about 5 weeks ago, I got full confirmation that I had been classed as class two and I can pay back 19 years.
Wow.
And then I can pay back 62 now, so another 5 years. I can pay the next five going forward. So I've got, I don't know how they calculated this. They said I've got 11 years. Mm-hmm. I've only worked seven, but it could have been like a half year. So I've got the 11 years. I bought back 19 and five going forward, which qualifies me for almost a full British pension.
And this is, I mean, obviously you worked and paid. So there absolutely, you know, there was money sitting in the UK that was legally yours, which you might never otherwise have found. The key point then perhaps is you can actually backdate and forward date. And that means you said in 5 years' time, you're going to get a sterling pension from those, sterling in both senses of the word, from those 7 years' work you did way back in the day.
I will be very grateful when the money comes in. Obviously, I'm 67, one of the small bonuses about getting old, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And as you know, pounds into rands, it's almost like a double whammy that it's going to really help when I get to that age. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there are, I mean, top of my head, I can think of half a dozen people who've spent some time working in the UK. They're now in their 50s and 60s. And you know, even if they don't contribute for backdating or forward dating, some extra pounds in your pension is always going to be lucky. We'll leave it there. That's Robert Liebrandt, South African entrepreneur. Appreciate the time.
That's it for today. Back on Friday, we were chatting with Skulklo, PSG Old Oak. We were talking Mr. Price results. We were talking Lewis results. We asked you what you thought of the numbers. 40% said excellent. A quarter each way said staying away or not bad. The rest said a mixed bag. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobukle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow in Invicta Results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.